Welcome to the Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear, where the audience guides the conversation. If you have something you'd like to hear talked about, go ahead and click that voice message button or email me at thelockoneverything@gmail.com. I hope everybody had a good day. I was supposed to have a guest on today, but we had some miscommunications on time, and I was dealing with some family issues and we wasn't able to get together, but we had a lot of things that happened over the weekend that I really want to talk about because it's important for our country, it's important for our children, it's important for our future, it's literally important for everything. And the best way to start it is just to go ahead and bite the bullet and say it. And the biggest thing we have right now is an argument going on right now between racial equalities in our country and what is and what isn't going on. The biggest problem with talking about race inequalities and becoming equal between everyone is no one has an idea of what the word equality means or what it will actually entail for everyone to actually be equal. It's more of an idea that people want to throw around, but they don't want to understand the consequences. As an example, if all races are to be considered equal, then all the special grants, all the scholarships, loans, housing, government aid, everything that's given out based on race alone will immediately have to cease. Having specific channels or specific colleges that are dedicated primarily to one race would have to stop. Which comes to my next point of everyone I'm hearing, especially on the Democratic debates that took place a couple nights ago, was wanting to give reparations. What any minority has to look at is the Native Americans and how they got their reparations for what happened. If you think about it, they got their own territories. They got their own tribal lands. They keep their own constitution. They have their own form of government. And 99% of them are ran into the ground by greedy people of their same race that isn't worried about what color the other people's race are because they're the same race. What they're worried about is how much money they can make. So the government gives these native tribes reparations and then it's stolen by the natives that are in charge of the area. And it lines their pockets and not the pockets of the poor. Not to mention, the majority of land that was given to the natives on the reservations is lands that cannot produce a crop. There is no water. It's useless. I mean, the government wasn't stupid in finding these areas. They literally found the worst areas and then said, oh, here, we're sorry for what happened. But what people don't understand is reparations is hush money. It's kind of like signing a non-disclosure agreement when you settle something out of court. Once you get paid, you're no longer allowed to talk about it. You have to forget it ever happened. And then if you bring it up again, not only are you going to have to give back the money, but you're also going to face a whole lot of other fines between the court system and other things that are going on. So when people are sitting here talking about reparations, you need to understand that once people get paid, then it's over. The history's done. There's no more complaining. There's no more, we're not equal to you. There's no more, we're disadvantaged. There's nothing. You've been paid. And then once that happens, it's just going to be turmoil. I can go ahead and tell you. But nobody wants to understand that because everybody wants to live on emotions and feelings. And nobody wants to think it out. Now the next part of reparations, just like the natives, is you're going to have to figure out who was a slave. So you're going to have to do DNA test from everybody in the country because we're all mixed. We're all got a little bit of everything in us. And we're all going to have to go back. And then we're going to have to determine what the percentage of a certain person is. Because if we use the one drop rule, which throughout history has always been a horrible idea, then you're going to have white kids with blonde hair and blue eyes whose great-great-great-great ancestor was a slave, and they're going to get paid just like someone who actually looks like what a native would consider a full-blooded African-American. And the amount of money that it would take to do that is just insanely high. I mean, as a Native American, some tribes make you take a blood test, and some tribes make you have to do a genealogy of 5 to 6 generations back, and you have to be a certain percentage or more in order to get it. So, if, as an example, it's widely known that Thomas Jefferson loved his slaves, and he had children with a lot of them. So, if Thomas Jefferson had a relation with his slaves and had a kid, and then every generation after that became whiter and whiter and whiter, would they be considered the same as someone who had slaves on both sides of their family and continued the line down as if we would track the Native Americans? And if the percentages are different, then are we going to have to take the reparations and make the reparations change based upon the percentages? And I know it sounds like I'm getting really out in left field, but as a Native, that's exactly how it works. So I'm not talking in a hypothetical sense of we have to start from scratch here. That's how the government works. Now, you also have to understand there are tribes that had to have their names changed after the treaties were written. And therefore, since the new name is not in the treaty, although the government knows that those natives were on that land, they cannot claim the federal recognition. So therefore, they're out of luck. So all in all, when it comes to reparations, it's a bad idea. It's impossible to do. And the other thing, when the people that talk about they want the 100 acres and an ox, I hate to break it to you, but the land in America is primarily owned. And the federal government's not going to get their land. And I can tell you, come hella high water, anyone that owns land and the government comes in and says, hey, you got to give this land up, it's going to be very bad for a lot of people, especially when our population increased a dramatic, you know what I'm trying to say, our population drastically increased during the 1920s when everybody was coming across the water. So therefore, the amount of people that actually owned slaves in the 1800s compared to the amount of people that own slaves today would not be enough to support everybody that had owned slaves. So, I mean, everyone that was slaves. So now we have the predicament of if a child is born today and they go on and they get a job that pays them minimum wage, and somehow 200, 300 years ago, their parent owned a slave. Well, are they going to have to pay a reparations tax on minimum wage to have to pay? And then, if we take color out of the equation, is our country also going to have to pay reparations to the Chinese workers that built the railroad? Or the Irish slaves, which people use indentured servant like it's really a difference, when it's honestly semantics. A slave, an indentured servant, you know, a butler, whatever you want to call them, it's really what they are. Because indentured servants, they had a service, but the people didn't let them go after they paid their service. They wasn't free. They still had to work because they had nowhere else. So just like after slavery ended, those that had indentured servants had this, did the same thing that slave owners did after the end of slavery. They cost them more in rent than they made, and they jacked up the prices of food, so therefore they never got out. And honestly, looking at it, that is slavery, whether you like it or not. Not to mention, we had white slaves, we had Native American slaves. It's a whole lot into it, and you can't just say that you want to get paid back, because it's not that simple. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to put it. Now, before I get into these other topics that I wanted to discuss, there's something that came up on my mind, and it really bothers me, and I don't know if I'm the only one that does, but most of you that listen knows that I love theology, I love everything about it, I love a good theological debate, but that's where it stops at. I don't like theological arguments, and I don't like people that try to bait a theological argument. And I know a bunch of y'all are sitting there thinking that you don't know what I'm talking about. But there's an issue between Christians of different races and what color our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And I want to let you know that if you think that Jesus is white, and you know for 100% fact that he is white, and you die, and Jesus is black, you're going to have a serious problem. I'm just going to go ahead and let that know. Now, if you believe that Jesus was black, and you die and go to heaven, and Jesus was white, you're going to have a serious problem. And here's the reason why. Because when you go, and you go to your judgment day, you lived your entire life on hatred. Because we don't know what color for fat Jesus was. And I know we can argue what the Bible says about his skin tones and his hair colors and everything like that. But there is a reason why the disciples did not put it. And the reason why is it does not matter. It doesn't matter one bit if Jesus was white, if he was black, if he was Asian, if he was, what, throw a race in there, okay? It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, all Jesus is worried about is what's in our heart. And if you believe so much in the color of Jesus' skin and not in Jesus' teachings, then you are the wrong answer. There's no way to put it. If you are more focused on an image that was built by somebody, we don't know who it is, and you got to hang it up in your house, you got to hang it up in your church, and you are more focused on worshiping the image of Jesus and not Jesus being the Son of God, then we would seriously need to have a conversation. And that conversation is to let me know, hit that voice message button, or send that email, and I'm going to pray for your soul because you were damned to hell. Because that is a racist attitude, and racism is led by hate, and hate is led by the devil. And you are practicing what he wants you to, and you are a whole lot further from heaven than you think you are. This is a prime example of why God told Moses, when he went up there and talked to him, to not make an image of God. Because when you make an image of God, which I'm hoping that y'all know Jesus and God is the same person. Just like the Holy Spirit, it's the Trinity, it's three in one. Anyways, when you make an image of something, you put that image in your head. And then when you put that image in your head and you don't allow other people to have that image, and it actually causes a separation, a division, or anything like that, then you're wrong. A sin is anything that's not godly. And that's not godly. I hope everybody's understanding that. If not, then y'all got to let me know. Now, going on from that. So we always got the idea that everybody needs to love everybody. The world ain't perfect. It ain't never been perfect.
our country's not perfect. But I will tell you, we are the greatest country that is in this world. And I know I got friends of mine that listen from Australia. But they feel the same way about Australia that I feel about America. And that is perfectly fine. I'm not going to hate on them because they think their country is better than America. It's their country, okay? I think my house is better than my neighbor's. Is their house nicer than mine? They probably think it is, but I don't care. Because this is an opinion and it's not something I'm going to argue over. If that makes sense to anybody. That's my own personal thing and that's just what it is to me. Now, when we go ahead and go this whole MAGA thing, the whole Make America Great Again, everybody is so worried about the word great and again. And for some reason, instead of taking 2 seconds to understand what my 7-year-old understands, they want to go way off into left field and go back to the slavery days and the days of hunting Native Americans like they're deer and all this random craziness. And then at the same time, we can get in an argument over who's the greatest of all time. LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, The Rocket, Nolan Ryan, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon. We do it to everybody. But when we do it to sports, no one's like, oh, well, the greatest is the one that's perfect. The greatest is the one that sucked less than the others. But when someone says make America great again, they use that as, oh, well, tell me whenever America was great, as in perfect. Well, America's never been perfect. No country's ever been perfect. But in America's defense, we are like teenagers compared to the rest of the world. I mean, if you look at Europe, they're thousands of years old. You look at the Middle East, they're as old as time. I mean, that's where civilization started. And here we are, almost 300 years old in America, and everybody's over here fussing, talking about when we was great. But I'll tell you when we was great. Not perfect, but great. While we had our own internal flaws, what everybody's talking about when they say great, they mean when we led the world in English, we led the world in math, we led the world in industries, we led the world in everything. We had a booming economy, people could find jobs. Detroit was full. It wasn't like it was now. Baltimore was full. It wasn't like it is now. We had our own jobs. Everything we wanted was made in America by Americans. That's when America was great. Yes, did we still have a civil rights issue? Yes. Did we have an issue with equality between men and women? Yes, we did. Do we have issues that we still have today that are idiotic and we really shouldn't be having? Yes. But I'm not going to go hold something to my child that she done now at 7 years old and wait till she's in her 30s and start complaining about it. Or my two older youngins with something they did now and wait until I'm on my deathbed and then be mad at him and be like, well, you know, when was you ever good because you screwed up this, this, and this? That's completely dumb. But people don't think about that. They just want to go to the extreme to try to prove a point. Now, there were some things that had come up over the weekend about our president and his attack on women, and especially women of color. And one of the Democrat senators wrote a tweet, and he was talking about how the president loves attacking women of color. And a white woman had responded to it. She was like, yeah, it's not all women of color. It's any woman that can stand up to him and can see through his lies and all this other stuff. Well, then a black woman wrote something to the effect of, wow, just like a white woman to want to be the center of attention. And it really got me thinking. First of all, the senator is an idiot because what he wrote is a complete lie. What the white woman wrote was retarded. And what the black one wrote was just asinine. Like, it was just completely ridiculous. So, and I'll break all three levels down. So, the senator. What he was talking about is, one, the whole conversation of send her back. When you had a congresswoman that had a whole bunch of anti-American thoughts, and she was trying to express how much she hates this country and everything else, and the president told her, if you don't like it, go back to where you came from. Now, this is my thought on that, okay? If someone's living on the streets, and I have an open bedroom in my house, and they come in my house, and I feed them, I give them a good education, I do everything I can for them, I spend my own personal money on them, and then they start wanting to make my house look like what they come from off the streets, as far as, let's say, not washing their clothes, not taking a bath, eating in their room, not taking the trash out. Or maybe they just don't want to do anything but complain. Complain because my furniture is not their favorite color, or they don't like my wood floors, or who knows, whatever it could be. I'm going to tell them to go get back on the street. And I'm pretty sure 99% of the people in here would do the same thing. And with this particular congresswoman, she came from a third world country. She was brought over here and allowed to come in as a refugee based on the hearts of the American people. The American people took her in. She knew what she was getting to when she got here. She was thankful of what she got when she got here. And now all of a sudden, she doesn't like our country. She doesn't like anything in it. And she wants to change our country to a system that caused her country that she was born in. Well, the country she was born in, sorry, because she is an American now. But the country that she was born in, if we have that system, we're going to be just like them. But she doesn't care about that. So what the president said is exactly what I would have said, and what a lot of other Americans who busted their back to make this country. And that is to go back where you come from. Because regardless of your color or your creed or anything like that, America is your home. It is where, I mean, it's your home. I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, I've seen people get raised by bad parents and get treated in horrible, horrible situations and grow up and still love their parents. But they can't love the country, not for what we have been, not what we are today, but what we can be. And what we can be, it's the closest thing to perfect that is possible. But we can only do that by coming together. Now, going on to the white woman's comment. I forgot the other one. I'm sorry, y'all. So, there was another accusation against Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice. Well, the accusation came out that apparently he put his male part inside of a teenage girl's hand at some college party at some time at some place, and the woman just now came out about it. Not when the first woman come out, but just now. Now the problem is the Ford lady that originally started stuff against Kavanaugh, She said that there was all these people there was witnessing. Well, when the witnesses come forward, they said they didn't know what she was talking about. That they were not there. And then, she all suddenly couldn't show up to testify and had to take time to testify. Now, I'm sorry. I've been through some traumatic events. If you want to ask me about my traumatic events, I can start telling you within a second. Maybe a little emotional, but I can tell you. I don't care how long it's been. I can tell it to you like it was yesterday. And for some reason, she had to take like what? I think it was like a week or something before she could testify of what happened. And then it came out that it was politically motivated because she didn't want Kavanaugh to get appointed to the Supreme Court, because then the conservatives would have the upper hand in the Supreme Court, and Kavanaugh may just happen to overthrow Roe versus Wade. Now, that's gonna bring up a conversation that I'm going to get to in a minute. But anyways, so there was a congresswoman who was a woman of color that made a comment that Kavanaugh needs to get impeached now. Well, the problem is she didn't want to allow due process to go through. So now this man, who has not done anything wrong, has been jumped on twice and been ran through the ringer. Him, his wife, and his children have been put through this. This is the second time now. And I guess they didn't learn from the first time when they jumped on the board and wanted him, they wanted him decapitated, they wanted him threw under the jailhouse, they wanted all this crazy stuff to happen on something that turned out to be a lie. And now another one came forward, and she said he needed to get impeached. Kavanaugh needed to get impeached because of this witness and his track record with women. But the problem is he doesn't have a track record with women. He has a woman that completely made up a lie, tried to tarnish his reputation, and he, when you Google his name, that's what's going to come up. The rest of his life, his children, his grandchildren are going to hear about how bad he was to this woman. And the part where it was all a lie is going to get swept under the rug, and you're actually going to have to dig for it. Now, after this congresswoman wrote this tweet, the president got really upset about it. So he tweeted basically that she needed to shut her mouth. Which, both these together, is the reason why the senator wrote the tweet about Donald Trump and his track record with women of color. So, now we get to the white woman's comment on the tweet. So she tweeted, or she responded, and she tweeted that the president doesn't just hate women of color, he hates all women. Now, I'm pretty sure that was the whole locker room talk, that was the Stormy Daniels, and now all these other things. Now, when it comes to locker room talk, this is my thing about that. I've been a football player, and I was in the military, and I was in high school, and I was in college. And I know how dudes talk about women. And I know how women talk about men. And you can say that you've never done it, you never thought about it, but when you get around your homeboys, or you get around your girlfriends, and you want to be cool, it happens. Now, was he right in what he said? No, not at all. But the question that no one's ever asked is, why would someone hold on to that for so long? That's what scares me. I mean, here a guy is who said forever that he never wanted to be president. He never wanted to be a politician. He never wanted to do anything. And some guy was recording him in the locker room. And then they held on to it for years and years and years. Now, the man's a billionaire. The man's been on television. He's had rappers sing about him. He's had presidents talk about him. He's had congressmen and congresswomen talk about him. Everybody wanted to beat him. Everything happened. But until he ran for president, some random guy had a random conversation recorded, just, I guess, in a drawer somewhere, just collecting dust, just waiting, I guess, for Trump to run for president or Trump to do anything political. And that's scary, because who knows what any of us have said ever in our lives that anyone heard or recorded, and if we ever try to do anything, they're going to use it against us. I remember being in ROTC in high school, and I asked my ROTC instructor, I was like, why don't you run for president? And I was probably in 10th or 11th grade, and he said, because I probably made some girl mad in 3rd grade because I said something I shouldn't have said, or I took her pencil and never gave it back. And when I was in high school, I was like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You can still run for president if you steal a pencil in 3rd grade, or you said something to a girl that upset her in 3rd grade. But now I understand what he was saying. I mean, it's really an issue. So anyways, that's what she was talking about. So, all she wanted to do is carry on the conversation and say, hey, he hates women equally. He don't even like white women. He hates women in general. Which, both of them already said, was ridiculous. And neither one of them are true. But whatever. But the only reason why I really put the tweet on here is because of the comment that was given to her. And I don't understand it. And apparently, there's a lot of people that agree with it. But to me, it's incredibly racist. Now, let's just say an example. Trump did have an issue with women of color. And he just picked on them all the time. I'm not talking about like he does a squad, because whether the squad was white, black, Mexican, Korean, Asian, Martian, or from Venus, they deserve what they get from him. Because he's just saying what all the real Americans are thinking anyways. So, if he really had an issue with women of color, and not white women like Stormy Daniels, who, by the way, she was a porn star and he's a billionaire. I'm just going to leave that at that. I'm not even going to go there, because I've played the game, if you had $1 million, or would you do this for $1 million? And the dude was a billionaire. So I'm not even getting into that, because we all know where that's going to lead. And we all know the only reason why that was done is try to ridicule the man and to try to find a reason to impeach him. Because all your actors, all your actresses, your musicians, all these other people, they all got non-disclosure acts, and they all have to sign forms after a fan sleeps with them. Like they say with Justin Bieber, he gives them like a Rolex and something else in a little bag after they get done. Like, that's what it is. Trump's not the first one to ever have done it. I'm pretty sure the news anchors that reported on it have done it more times than what they're willing to admit. Anyways, going back to the tweet. So, with the tweet, if Trump only targeted women of color, it makes sense. But what she was saying that really got to me is it's all women. And then when the black lady, when she wrote back saying, just like a white woman, to want to be the center of attention, it really struck me. Because you have a white dude, well, a white, rich, privileged dude. Everything that the left hates, except for the fact that he's a Democrat. That's the only thing he's got going for him. Everything else, the left hates. And two women can't come together as strong women to take on a force like our president because of their skin color. And that got me thinking of how our entire country, and it seems almost the entire civilization, no matter what it is, cannot come together because there is some sort of hatred for a different group. And it's like there's a pyramid of different groups, and depending on which group you're in, depends on how much you can and can't say. Like, if you're a white male, you're a successful white Christian straight male, apparently you're not allowed to have any problems in this world. Like, you just wake up every day at 5:30 in the morning ready to take on the world, and you have no issues. But then, if you're a successful gay white man, then you can talk about it. Yeah, you can talk about it. You suffer all day. You just suffer a little bit less than the straight white successful male. You still got white privilege. Now, if you're a successful black straight male, then you haven't suffered as much as a successful white one, so you have a little bit of talk. But you ain't gay, though, so you don't know what that's like. And it sounds really facetious, but it's the truth. And it showed in the tweet here. Instead of the woman saying, hey, yeah, you know, matter of fact, you're right. He doesn't like any woman. He's a womanizer across the board. She couldn't do it. She had to make herself the middle of attention, or the center of attention, by calling out a woman's race who was agreeing with her and trying to say that Trump was sexist. And that just doesn't make no sense. And if it makes sense to somebody, then y'all hit that button and send me a message, and I'll bring you on the show, and you can let me know why you think that's okay. Or you can email me, whatever you want to do. I don't care. You can email me or send me a voice message. If you want to be known, I'll bring you on the show. If you don't, that's fine. Let me know, and I'll read it, and I'll put it on the show. But I won't tell nobody who you said it, because that doesn't make no sense. Now, going on to what I was talking about just a second ago, and that's with equality. So, when you sit here and you talk about, we'll say as an example, men of color and then white men, and wanting to be equal, well, we gotta decide what we want, because if you have an all-white cast, or an all-white sports team, or a group of people that is over a certain percentage of white, then it's racist. Not that, hey, they may have performed better, or anything like that, but it's just, hey, there's too many white people together, so obviously, it's a race issue. Now, say you go to the NBA as an example, and you have a 99% black team, then nobody can be like, hey, you're denying white people the privilege of playing on your team, because that's racist somehow. I don't understand it. But if you got a starting five that's white, then it's going to cause an issue. And that doesn't make no sense. And seeing things like that affects our children. And then our children feel the worst of it. And when children feel adult issues like I'm talking about right now, then they end up growing up with hatred. you know, a lot of people are under this misunderstanding that only parents can raise a person to be racist, and that's not true. Other people can raise, or other people can cause children to be racist. As an example, my niece went to school one day, and she came home crying. And she said, my brother asked her, said, "What's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong?" She said, "Nothing, Daddy, nothing, Daddy." I think she was in preschool or kindergarten, where he finally got it out of her. And a group of black kids came to her and told her that they didn't like her because of the color of her skin. Well, my brother did what any parent would do, and he went to the school. And when he went to the school, they told him that it wasn't considered racist, even though they directly told her that they didn't like her because of her race. Now, if that would have happened in a predominantly white school, then those kids would have been expelled for being racist, even though neither one of them is considered okay, or should be considered okay. Even our school systems have got it mixed up. And another example. My daughter was in class, and she had to go to the bathroom. Well, she went to the bathroom, and two black boys followed her into the bathroom and started asking her if she dated black guys. And she didn't answer anything. And, because, I mean, she was confused. So they kept asking her. And like, "Well, if you don't, then that means you're racist." And it's like, "Oh, you're racist, you're racist." And they was hollering and screaming. Well, she went to her teacher, and they said they couldn't do anything about it. Because if they did something about it, then it would look like the school system was picking on the black kids. Now, if two white boys had chased any kind of minority girl into the bathroom, in the girls' bathroom, that is, and attempted something like that, it would be trouble. It brings me to the video that was released not long ago, and actually the arrest came right before the Democratic debate that no one talked about on there. And that's the video of the group of 13-year-old to, I think, 24-year-olds that beat up the white dude for a cell phone. Not in any... I spent like 3 hours reading articles on this thing. And not in one place did it get listed as a hate crime. Now, I am all for equality. And I believe that should be equally as a hate crime as if it was the other way around. And if you don't think it's true, then you're part of the problem. Because we all want equality. We want to all be equal. And if we're all going to be equal, then we're going to have to be equal. Hands down. There's no... You can't be equal and want to have some things different than the others. That's not what that means. Two and three can't be equal. Now, those are issues between our colors. And this is still on the topic of the pyramid. So now we go to an issue of women versus men. Because, as I said before, the way our society is everybody's bunched into a group. And then each group is broken down into subgroups. And the highest group of all is men versus women. And the only reason why I decided to touch on this part is because I know I'm behind, but I finally got a chance to watch Dave Chappelle's new special on Netflix called Sticks and Stones. And he brought up a point that I've been meaning to bring up, I just haven't. And that is the difference in men and women, and when we talk about equality. And he made a very valid point. And the point is, women, if you want to be equal to men, it needs to be straight across the board. You can't say you want equality in men and then want special treatments. You can't expect a man to hold a door open for you if all you want to do is talk about how you want to be equal. If you want to be equal, you can open the daggum door just like I can. You can push your chair under just like you can. Now, see, my wife's like, no, that ain't me. You need to open my door and you need to put your chair in, push my chair in. Okay, cool. Got you. But you can't have it both ways. And one thing that Dave Chappelle talked about is that men need to stay out of the conversation of if a woman should have an abortion or not. Now, I don't agree with that. And no one's going to change my mind. Because when I was younger, I was with a woman who would get pregnant and I would get back with her. And then when we got back together, she would go and have an abortion. And then eventually it would seem like every time we got in a fight, she was pregnant. And that really bothers me. Even though people can say what they want to, that men don't feel kids or whatever, that's bullcrap. You don't know what they're talking about. You need to drop it. Now, anyways, just hypothetically speaking, if I believe that men should stay out of a decision about a woman, what a woman does with her body, whether she has an abortion or carries a baby, then that means if a woman decides to have a baby, the man has a decision to be in the child's life or not in the child's life. So if you don't want a man in your life to tell you if you can have a child or not, and you want to do it yourself, then the baby daddy letters need to stop. As soon as you decide to have that child, you need to make the decision if you can raise a child on your own or not. Now, if you give a man the decision or the choice, well, I wouldn't even say the choice. If you give a man the ability to be a part of the decision to keep the child or not to keep a child, that's fair game. I mean, that's it. But if you plan on using the child as a bargaining chip, which has happened to me, then I really hope that Dante Inferno's was right and there's a different layer of hell, because you will be at the bottom. Because not only is that not fair to the dad, but that is excruciatingly bad on the child. Like, that is the worst thing a person can do to a child, is use the child as a pawn between them and their parent. If you're a woman and you have a child and you won't let the father see the child unless the father does something for you, there's a serious problem and you should go seek mental health. And I really don't care how people think what people think about me. That is a problem. And whether you like the person or not, you decided to lay down with them. You decided to do what happened. Now, I know some people are going to throw up the issue of, what if I was raped? That is one of the most ridiculous hypothetical conversations ever. Because we're talking about millions and millions of women getting pregnant and deciding if they have a baby or not. And then you're like, well, what about this one in a million incident? One in a thousand incident. The equation doesn't compute. It doesn't make no sense. But yes, if it does happen, then we got to determine if the child is responsible for what happened. And then that goes back to the whole reparations thing. If the child's not responsible for the parent raping the other parent, then our children can't be responsible for what happened in the past. We can't have it both ways. And that's the whole point of all of this. Now, I have sole custody of my daughter. And when I had to go to court, the judge took 2 lunch breaks, asked if anyone had talked to the mother of my child, then commenced to tell us that maybe she got in a car accident or was having car troubles or who knew what was happening. And she wanted us to call and find out if she was coming or not. Now, I don't know how many people on here are listening that are males that have ever had a custody hearing. But if a male goes into a custody hearing and they're a second late, they're done paying for the child. They're paying all the child's insurance. They ain't going to see their child but one time a year, if that. And they're paying the mama the majority of their paycheck. Because they don't care. Now, we'll go back to this whole equality thing again. If women want to be equal to men, then there's got to be across the board. If a man's late to a court hearing and he loses everything, then if a woman's late to a court hearing, she better lose everything too. And see, even after my child's mother didn't show up, the judge looked at my lawyer and said, well, I don't think a child should be without her mother. Now, I had done testified against the events that took place. Social services had done talked about the situation and how bad it was for my daughter. And then she didn't show, and then the mother didn't even show up to court, and the judge still didn't want to give me custody of my daughter. And that was just because I'm a male. And that's the part that people keep talking about of these differences in this pyramid that I'm talking about. I can relate on males of so many things, and then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, it's rough out here. Like, no, look at you. Wait, what? Oh, you don't know what it's like to suffer because of how you look. And I'm sorry. If you was raised in the hood, or you was raised as white trash, you had the same opportunities in life. And if you don't believe it, you're racist, and you need to get help. Because there ain't no difference. Because whether your parents are selling crack in the middle of a street, in a large city, or you're being raised in a trailer park where your parents are meth heads and 2 trailers down, there's a daggone meth lab. There ain't no difference. The only difference is how you think. Because if you was raised in the hood and you want to be successful, chances are you gonna be successful. If you was raised in the trailer park and you don't want to be successful, you ain't gonna be successful. And it's vice versa too. But to go around and not know the difference in white privilege and wealth privilege is a serious issue. Because the issue follows with the Carnegies, the Rothschilds, George Soros, the 6 families that own everything in this country. That's wealth privilege. That's where they come from. Yeah, they all happen to be white or Jew. But that doesn't mean that you can use a broad brush to make an entire race seem what you want. Because I've seen a lot of white people, I've seen a lot of black people get screwed over by our system. But I will tell you, I have seen rich people get out of some very, very bad things. Look at Rourke, the Democratic presidential runnee, whatever he is called, from Texas. He's got 2 DUIs, and the guy's running for president, and no one's bringing that up. It wasn't even brought up in the presidential debate or whatever the thing's called. You know what I'm talking about. No one mentioned, like, hey, y'all want this guy to be president, but he can't even not drink and drive. It's really a painful information. I mean, a painful situation. So here we have a white Democrat who is white in every sense of the word, but changed his name to seem Hispanic and speak Spanish to get the Hispanic vote. But he doesn't have enough self-control to not drink and drive. Not only once, but twice. Now, you best believe if that was anybody else, they would have tore him to pieces on the stage. I mean, I don't understand this two-way system, and nobody apparently sees it. And it's really, really sad. So, staying on the topic of the women versus the men and equality between women and men. You know, if a man assaults a woman, which isn't right, don't get me wrong. I also don't think women should assault men. But anyways, if a man assaults a woman, then he can get assault on a female charge. Now, if a woman assaults a man, it's a simple assault. It's not assault on a male. And the justification behind that is that a man is bigger and stronger and all these other things against women. Yet, the whole debate about women being in the military and women doing all these other things is that men and women are the same and there's no difference between them. And if that's the case, then why is our justice system not set up the same way to where if a woman assaults a man, then it's just as bad as a man assaulting a woman? Or if a man assaults a woman and then a woman goes to town and just beats the crap out of him, it's okay. But if a woman acts out and goes crazy and starts hitting a dude and the dude lays her out, then all of a sudden the man is like a horrible monster. Now, the way I was raised, he would be a horrible monster. But I was raised different than the current argument that men and women are created equal. Which would also mean, if men and women are created equal, then we don't need to have gender split in sports. So, let Brittany Griner go play in the NBA. Let a female boxer go fight in the Olympics as a boxer against men. Let Usain Bolt go run against women in the Olympics. I know that's far-fetched and I know it sounds stupid, but like I said before, 2 can never equal 3. If we want to have equality, it's got to be equal across the board. Just like with the whole Kavanaugh thing I was talking about. If a man, goes and says that 30 years ago, a woman raped him or sexually assaulted him or done any of these things, the same reaction that they're going to get is the same reaction you probably just gave me by me even saying it. But you have an innocent man whose entire life was tarnished by a woman. Now let's go to the whole thing of the Central Park 5. And I bring that up because me and my friend was talking about it, and we'll get more onto it whenever I can get him to sit down with me if this episode doesn't make you all hate me and I can't do it anymore, which I'll probably still do it anyways, but whatever. And the Central Park 5, you had a woman, and I'm not even getting into the race, but anyway, she was white and they were black. But she lied and had these individuals arrested, and they spent a long time in prison just to turn out that it was a lie. Now, that woman should have to pay dearly. And I'm talking like Charlie Daniels Simple Man pay. If you don't know what that is, go to YouTube or iTunes or whatever and Google Charlie Daniels Simple Man. And I think whether she was a black woman and they were white men, or she was a white woman and they were black men, that's what needs to happen. And it sounds extreme, but those men, those young gentlemen that were innocent, spent a large majority of their life behind bars. And regardless of how clear their name comes, just like Brett Kavanaugh's, that's what they'll be known for, is that case for the rest of their lives. And their lives was taken from them because the equality between men and women is exactly like women says, and it's not there. The problem is women only want to talk about the pay raise. They don't want to talk about the issues that are really, really unequal. So let's go to the military. You have someone in the military. They go, they get in an argument with their spouse. Well, guess what happens to the spouse? The spouse has to go live in barracks. As a matter of fact, a woman can call the commander about her husband who is in the military and ruin their entire career. And they can have a target put on their spouse's back because every command will view them as a troublemaker. And their whole career will get messed up just because she wanted to be petty. And I'm not talking about real things. I'm talking about just being petty. Now, on the civilian side, the same thing happens. If a man and a woman get in an altercation, the first person the cops will look at to go find somewhere else to live is the man. Even if the woman has somewhere to go and the man has nowhere, they're going to tell him to get a hotel. They're going to tell him to go somewhere and get out of the house. Hands down, that's sexist and it is wrong. And if you're one of those women, well, go back to when I was talking about Dante's Inferno. Alright, so now my next thing. And then I'm almost done. It just come out over the weekend that there was a karate teacher in Orlando who had sent nudes to an 11-year-old. And he responded with, I think it was like, so what, I don't care, or some mess like that. It was something. But the karate teacher was a woman. Now, here lately, over the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, the amount of women teachers that are doing these acts to young boys is through the roof. If that many men, regardless of color, started doing that, and every time you turn around, there's a dude teacher sleeping with 3 or 4 female girls, or either individually or together, or anything like that, you'd have some national outcry. But it's not a national outcry with this incident right here. But if next week there was a guy teacher that was having a relationship with a teenage girl, it'll be front page news. Like, instantly. It'll be all over CNN. It'll be all over Fox News. It'd be all over everywhere. But with this, it's not. It's kind of bad. So, now going on to my last and final thing. There was another Jesse Smoot, or however you say his name, incident over the weekend. And I'm hoping, I mean, it won't happen, but I'm hoping that it will be registered as a hate crime. Because an ex-NFL football player decided to trash two of his restaurant, or two of his restaurants, write a derogatory term for a black person that starts with a letter of N on it, and then wrote the magical word MAGA on it. Come to find out, he did it for insurance fraud. Now, this is getting a little out of hand. And what is happening is those that seek out people, whether it's people that are homosexual, heterosexual, white, black, whatever it is, when people make up hate crimes like this, what it does is it has an effect like the boy who cried wolf. And what's going to happen is so many times people will come up with this whole MAGA means white supremacy and all this other stuff. And what's going to end up happening is when some lunatic white supremacist actually does break into someone's restaurant or house or whatever and actually does destroy it because they're a psychopath and they hate someone based upon the color of their skin, then the police are just going to ignore it. And they're going to ignore it because they waste all this time, all this money, and all this effort to hunt these people down just to find out it was a lie. And it's just like the issues with Brett Kavanaugh and the gentleman who the woman cried rape on, the Central Park Five, like I just spoke about. And what happens is everybody gets so focused on non-predators that when there's actually a predator out there, nobody's going to pay attention, and it's going to cause a problem. And I spent this last hour and a half, almost, just to say this. If we don't come together, at least on things that are important, then we can never come together on the things that are difficult. If women can't come together as women of color or women not of color, they're never going to get anywhere. If the men can't come together as men without color being involved, we're not ever going to get anywhere. If Christians can't come together without arguing about what color Jesus is, which doesn't play a factor in our faith whatsoever, then we have a problem. If we can't come together as Americans, then we have a problem. And if we can't come together as human beings, then we have a serious problem. And it's sad that the way society is going, we break people down into a category when we first see them to determine that who that person is, whether we know them or not, with no evidence for them, no evidence against them, just by looking at them and what we see from the outside, we determine our whole relationship with them. And it's wrong. There's no reason for it. And while you may look at somebody and they may be a neo-Nazi, you may guess right. But you can't look at everyone and do it. And while you look at someone and they may be a sexist, they may be a womanizer, they may be whatever you want to call them, that doesn't mean you can judge everybody based upon the same thing. If you turn your TV on or your radio on and you see a bunch of hip-hop and all this other crazy stuff that you see going on, doesn't mean that the next person that you see that looks like that acts like that. I don't understand why this is a concept in the year 2019 that we're still having, because someone has to bite the bullet, someone has to say it, and someone has to take the first step. Because all we're going to do is continue to lead generation after generation after generation of hatred, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. And 100, 200 years down the road, our kids, whatever, are going to be having the same argument that we're having now, that was held in the 40s and 50s, that was held 300-400 years ago, that was held 1,000 years ago, and we're still in the same place. It is ridiculous, and I don't understand. I just don't understand. As advanced as we become, as advanced as we make computers, the things that we can do with technology right now is incredible. But I can't walk down the street and call someone that doesn't look like me brother or sister without it being an issue. So I'm done on my spiel. You can hit the voice message button. Let me know what you think. You can send me an email at thelockoneverything@gmail.com, or go on Instagram and follow me and send me a message or whatever at thelockoneverything, obviously. And I want to pray that you have a good day or a good night whenever you listen to this. And I pray that at least one person in this world thinks like I do and wants to take a step forward to understand that while things aren't perfect, they never will be perfect, but we can always be better tomorrow than we were today and than we were yesterday. And as long as we take one small tiny step forward every day, we'll eventually get to the finish line. It may be 100 years from now. It may not be till Jesus Christ comes back and we see each other in heaven. But at least we're trying and we're working on it. And if you've made it this far, I appreciate you. I love you. Share it. Do whatever you want to. And I'm signing off. Until next time, this is A Lock on Everything with Brian Locklear.